We have the tech to get food delivered in 15 minutes, but we all have horror stories about buying tickets. The Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Get amazing tickets in just a few taps. Fees are included, so what you see is what you pay. And the Game Time guarantee means authentic tickets at the best price every time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets to concerts, sports, comedy, and more with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply.
Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you on your Monday morning. And we now go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We are thrilled to be joined by ESPN senior NFL reporter Jeremy Fowler on a very important day on the NFL calendar. June 1st, 4:01 today, Eastern Time. Post-June 1st moves can be made. Jeremy, thanks for coming on with us. Appreciate you taking some time this morning.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, Jeremy, we'll start with the big news of the day. Our old friend here in Nashville, A.J. Brown, is likely going to be traded at some point post-June 1st. What are your indications on how that's going and whether he could end up being a New England Patriot sooner rather than later?
Well, certainly could happen at any point after 4:01 p.m. today, or after 4 o'clock, and that's when the post-June 1st designation kicks in, which means the teams can prorate their salary cap hit or their dead salary cap hit on a big contract with a cut or a trade. So New England's highly motivated to do this. They want to do it. They plan to do it, but they have to find out the trade terms, get them solidified. You know, I think there's probably been a wink-wink situation with all this. You know, they just they do have to get to the finish line, though, and I do think you'll end up being probably a 2028 first-round pick. And they'll go from there. I think New England will probably try to get something back to sort of assuage having to give up the one. But, you know, A.J. Brown, look, despite him getting a little older and having a down year and some of the issues in Philly, he's still considered a top 10 receiver. So this would be a major boon for New England.
For Philadelphia, do you feel like this is a disappointment overall, given that maybe just a year and a half ago, A.J. Brown was up there towards the top of the wide receivers in the NFL? And what really went wrong the last year or so that led to this split that's going to send A.J. Brown elsewhere?
Well, a lot. I don't know where you start on that, but it was pretty obvious that he had issues with the offense, the Eagles' offense, the way guys got open, how it was really hard to get, you know, layup plays, easy yardage in the offense. You know, it's hard to tell how personal it got with Jalen Hurts. I don't have that sort of reporting, but I do know that, at least from what I'm told, some of Jalen Hurts' limits in how he can operate the offense and make certain throws became an issue for Brown because the offense was sort of hitting their head on a ceiling at some point. You know, and if you don't have the run game breaking off 20, 40-yard runs like they were in 2024, then it's all on the receivers to just make magic happen every play, and that's tough to do down in and down out. So I think it was a function of that, and, you know, he probably didn't handle it the best. I mean, you know, really every week it was an issue of how he was going to pout on the sideline or what sort of passive aggressiveness was going to be shown. It just became too much of a thing for Philly to really have to handle, so they made a decision to move on.
We're talking with Jeremy Fowler, ESPN NFL insider. Jeremy, you had the article that came out in early April about the friction between Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles organization. How much of that friction was because of the saga going on with A.J. Brown, or was this more so focused on Jalen Hurts, you know, changing plays at the line of scrimmage and his limitations as a passing quarterback?
I think it's all of the above. You know, we did our story more focused on Jalen Hurts because that's sort of where the reporting took us when we were just trying to answer the fundamental question of why the Philly offense has just become sort of calcified and stagnant after so much success. And, you know, really there were some signs in 2024 of the passing game having some struggles there too. So it was not new. You know, they finished in the bottom third in passing in back-to-back years. That's sort of unbecoming of a franchise quarterback, you know. So we tried to find out what was going on. You know, we did get some complaints about Jalen Hurts' game. But to be fair, you know, A.J. Brown was a crybaby at times. I mean, I hate to use that word, but that's really what it was. You know, it was obvious, and it was a factor. You know, I don't think he was, you know, a loose cannon behind the scenes or some major locker room issue in that way. I think a lot of what went unsaid was saying a lot. In other words, I don't think those two were having healthy communication and airing out their grievances in a healthy way. I think it just was sort of festering all year, I would say. Where Devontae Smith, who's now Jalen Hurts' new number one, from what I'm told, is more of a side conversation guy. If he's got an issue, he has no problem talking to you, but he'll do it off to the side. And that's kind of a healthy way to do it.
Was the Eagles drafting Mekhi Lemon, did that kind of seal the fate for A.J. Brown, or is there still a chance that he could remain in Philly next season?
A.J. Brown remaining in Philly? I don't see it. I don't see a world where that happens, unless the trade just completely falls apart. But all signs point to him leaving. I mean, they've been sitting on this trade for a month and a half now, even before the draft. You know, it's sort of been understood. Even though, like, New England could have drafted a receiver, there was nothing preventing them from doing that because they didn't have a contract with Philly on a new deal. So, but they didn't draft one, and I think that was a big tell. They would have addressed it in some way if they felt that they weren't getting A.J. Brown. And Philly's played all their cards. They've added 100 receivers in the last, like, 3 months, including Mekhi Lemon, the first-round pick. So there's no going back at this point.
ESPN senior NFL reporter Jeremy Fowler joining us here on Next Man Up. Jeremy, A.J. Brown, of course, is the big news of the day, but there are other players who could see their fates change by this post-June 1st opening. I saw on SportsCenter yesterday that you mentioned Brandon Ayuk, and his saga has been interesting, to say the least, in San Francisco. Did not play last year. How do you see that playing out with, you know, not a lot of recent film on him and, of course, the off-the-field issues that have crept up for him over the last year?
Yeah, it's one of those situations where it's unique because they voided his guarantees. So I do think there's some contractual stipulations here where, you know, if he's not ready to play by August, I think his contract can either toll or they can move on in an easier way. That part is a little complicated, but I do know they can sort of prorate some of the dead salary cap hit now that June 1st is here. So it makes it easier to move on. Like they wouldn't have cut him May 30th, for example. They might as well wait at this point because they do get some benefits. So, you know, we'll see what shakes out from there. But, you know, I've talked to several teams that just consider him sort of untradeable at this point, that they're going to have to move on or cut him in some way. I think San Fran is, A, looking to get something for him if they can recoup anything. But also, I don't think they have any sort of allegiance to the player because he kind of ghosted him. There really is no communication as far as what I know right now. So, and it really nobody knows what kind of shape he's in right now, how his knee's doing. There are a lot of questions with this one, so that's why teams are going to wait out San Fran to cut him before they explore the possibility.
Jeremy, here in Nashville, I would like to say there's cautious optimism that the Titans are going to be improved this year. I mean, only 6 wins in the last 2 years, that would be the hope. What's kind of the league-wide view of what Mike Borgonzi's done building this roster and, of course, Robert Saleh coming in as the head coach in his second stint?
Yeah, you know, so they seem to be on a good progression, you know. It's Mike's show now, right? I don't think there's any doubt about that with the move from Chad Brinker and bringing in a new vice president who's really there to support Mike, and from my view at least. You know, I think he's come in and taken ownership of the job and shown leadership, and so that's my understanding. You know, the Carnell Tate pick sounds like it's going really well so far. I know they're just running around in shorts, but I think his – ability is jumping up the tape a little bit. You know, this is a guy who was the safest receiver bet, I would say, coming to the draft because, you know, he just has a lot of polish. Ohio State knows how to do receivers, right? We're seeing him all over the league have success. You know, so he's got pedigree. He can go get it. You know, he's got enough speed, but really works hard, all those things. So it's a good first-round pick for them to sort of build off of. And, you know, I like some of the free agent additions. They make sense. John Franklin Myers, you know, even though you had to pay a lot for him, he makes a lot of sense in that system. Familiarity with Robert Saleh. You know, and look, he zigged when everybody thought he would zag, right, with the Matt Nagy situation. I think the telegraph during the coaching carousel was that Borgonzi wanted Nagy. Well, they went with who they felt was the best man, which was Saleh. So, you know, who Salah created a lot of late momentum in the process. So, you know, so he really, Borgonzi proving to be somebody who is just trying to make sound decisions that are best for the team, no matter the implication or the sort of expectation that others had. He's trying to make the best decision.
Jeremy, I have one more for you, and we're kind of bouncing around here. So I saw the reporting this morning from Courtney Cronin about the Bears and their future in Chicago versus going to Indiana. As of right now, does it seem like they're going to remain in Chicago, at least for the immediate future?
Yeah, you know, that one's complicated. It sounds like Chicago's out, you know, as far as downtown. The momentum has been for either Arlington Heights, which is, you know, a suburb, or the Hammond, Indiana site, which I think most Bears fans don't want, but they've been a player in this. And you can sort of try to read between the lines whether that's a leverage play or not. But it seems like the city of Chicago kind of dropped the ball on this a while ago, and I don't know if you can put the toothpaste back in the tube with it. So, you know, that's one area that I'm kind of following from afar a little bit. But now that it's heating up, I'm going to try to sort of crystallize it and see where it's at. But, you know, I think the Arlington Heights site is certainly a viable one right now.
Jeremy, appreciate your insights. Big thanks for coming on with us this morning. We hope to talk to you again soon.
Hey, anytime, guys. Thank you.
Jeremy Fowler, ESPN NFL reporter, and we will be following along to his reporting. Big day across the NFL as we could get an A.J. Brown trade as soon as 3 p.m. Central Time today. 615-737-1025. We'll react to what Jeremy had to say coming up next. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game.